யம் ப்ரஹ்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ர மருதஹ ஸ்துன்வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவைஹி வேதைஹ சாங்க பத க்ரமோபநிஷதைஹி காயந்தி யம் சாமகாஹ த்யானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தி யம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுஸ்ஸுரா ஸுரகணாஹ தேவாய தஸ்மை நமஹ. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ பரமாத்மனே நமஹ. சாங்க்ய யோகோ நாம த்விதீயோத்யாயஹ. ஸ்ரீ பகவானுவாச அசோச்சானன்வசோசஸ்த்வம் ப்ரஜ்ஞாவாதாம்ஸ்ச பாஷசே கதாஸோ ந கதாஸோம்ஸ்ச அநாஶினோ ப்ரமேயஸ்ய தஸ்மாத்யுத்யஸ்வபாரத. தி ஜகத் காரியம், தி காரியம் ஜகத், the manifestation, this universe is mithya, nama and rupa, rupam, and the sat, the existence of the universe, the brahman, the sat of the universe is satyam, sat is satyam. The cause of the universe being Brahman, the Sat. The existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Therefore, existence of Brahman is the existence of the Jagat. And we say Brahman is the Brahman, the Sat is the existence of the universe. Like water is the existence of the ocean. Existence of the water is the existence of the ocean. Therefore, water is the existence of the ocean. Similarly, the existence of the Brahman is the existence of the universe. And what is implied by the word Brahman? We say existence. What is the word we mean? The term we use to mean the existence of the universe is Sat, which is Sat, Karanam, the cause. Sadvastu, the Sadvastu, the Karanam of the universe is implied by the word Sat. So Jagat is, that itself is the proof, what? Its cause is Sad Asti. Sad Bhati, it shines in the form of the universe. But that Sat, the existence of the universe, what is that Sat, existence of the universe? I understand, Sat, Brahman is the Sat, Tadvastu, Jagat is the Karyam, okay, Sat is Karanam, Jagat is Karyam, and Karanam pervades the Jagat, therefore Sadvastu pervades the universe. The whole Jagat is nothing but manifestation of this Sat. It's very clear. There is nothing other than this Sat. The whole Jagat is Mithya Karyam. Mithya Karyam Jagat is nothing but manifestation of this Sat, its Karanam. Therefore, it is pervaded by its cause. That's fine. There is nothing which is not Brahman. But what is the Sadvastu? How can I recognize it? Only in recognizing what that Sadvastu, okay, and then my smallness is going to be resolved, my problems will be resolved. So how can I know that? And that Sadvastu, how is it available for recognition? Can you understand Sat as the Sat? Sat has to be understood, it's available for recognition, understanding only as the Chit, not as anything else. What is Chit? What does the word Chit mean? Chit means pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure awareness. Chidrupena sat avagamyate. Sat is understood only as the chit. And what is pure consciousness? What is pure awareness? And pure awareness is available for understanding only as the source of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge, but as the very source of knowledge, but as the very knower, as the subject of knowledge. There is no way of arriving at what consciousness is, what the word pure consciousness means, you know, without knowing what the word, you know, who the knower is. So you negate everything as an object of knowledge, and you arrive at the knower. Okay, and even then you understand the pure consciousness is not the knower, but the what is there as the knower is pure consciousness. You understand the pure consciousness being available for recognition as the knower, no, as the witness, sakshi matram. As a witness of all three states of experience. When the experience is there, no, the consciousness is. The experience is not there, even then the consciousness is. Experience being there is experienced. Experience being not there also is experienced, because of the presence of which that is pure consciousness. You understand, you arrive at what the word consciousness means. That is what is chit. And you know, without this consciousness, jagat cannot be known. No knowledge is possible without the consciousness. Without the knowledge being there, the object of knowledge has no existence. The object of knowledge is as good as non-existent if the knowledge is not there. Okay, without being known. And for the knowledge to take place, there must be knower, must knower. Therefore, you understand, okay, chit, the consciousness, can exist independent of the known and the knowledge. Whereas the knowledge cannot take place without the knower, the pure knowledge. And known cannot exist independent of the knower also. Therefore, we say, who is dependent and who is independent? Understand? Therefore, this chit, which is available for recognition as thin pure, as pure consciousness, as pure awareness, as pure knowledge, as a knower, as a source of knowledge, as the existence of all the vrittis, okay, as the truth of the mind, this consciousness is in fact the sat, which pervades everything. Sat is nothing but chit. This chit alone is there as the sat, existence of everything. Because this chit happens to be the sat, the existence of the pure consciousness, okay, the source of knowledge, which is available for recognition as the subject of knowledge, which is there as the knower, happens to be the sat of everything. This chit is also what? Anantam. Because there is nothing which is not the consciousness, nothing which is not the sat. Therefore, anantam, it is everything is that. And that sat, there is no second sat other than consciousness. There is no other second sat, second reality, second existence other than consciousness is not there. Therefore, there must be two things for one to be disturbed or harmed or destroyed by another. The second thing being not there. Okay, the mithya jagat also is satyam brahma, sadatma. Therefore, it is the mithya jagat is completely pervaded by the satyam, which is chit. Therefore, it is avinashi, it is indestructible, not subject to any destruction. Thank you. Yena sadvastuna idam sarvam jagat vyaptam asti tadvastu avinashi iti vidhi. May you know that truth to be indestructible. Avinashitu tadvidhi yena sarvam idam tatam vinashamauyayasyasya nakaschit kartum arhati. We are going to see beautiful verse that following actually later on. So asya avyayasya, this consciousness, the chit, the consciousness, which is the sat, the existence of the universe, is the avyayaha, avyayam, avyayaha atma. Why it is this is the atma, in fact, the consciousness is the atma, avyayaha. Avyayaha means indeclinable. What does it mean? It has no upachayaha, nor does it have apachayaha. It cannot be reduced in size, it cannot be increased. Okay? It is always the same. Because unchanging, unchangeable, we saw that. Tasya avyayasya vinasham kartum nakaschit arhati. None can cause any destruction to this self, sadvastu. Then we saw, but what is it subject to change then? We saw last class, two-fold destructions, two types. One is absolute destruction, one is relative destruction. Absolute destruction means something should disappear for good. So, there is no such thing called absolute destruction at all. There is only relative destruction. What do you mean by the relative word, this relative destruction? It's only a change. Change, any change is relative destruction. One form has to undergo some changes. It undergoes changes and it's available in different form. It doesn't disappear totally. Therefore we say, if the wood is burnt, then the coal is burnt again, the ashes. Let it appears. Any one thing continues to appear in different forms. It doesn't disappear for good completely. That change is what? In fact, relative destruction. So this sadvastu is not subject to absolute destruction. Sadvastu, in fact, is not subject to relative destruction also. But the mithya jagati, all the namarupas, all the except consciousness, the chit, the sat of the universe, all the namarupani, sarvani namarupani, now all the names and forms, now satlagras, all of them are subject to change. Constantly, continuously, consistently, they are undergoing changes that we cannot stop. That is the nature, that is their nature. Okay, so he says, then what is it undergoes change? Suppose if chit is not subject to change, none can destroy it, what is it which is subject to change then? What is that which is subject to destruction? That is relative destruction, the change. So he says, ime dehaha antavantaha, ayam dehaha antavan. Asya dehasya antaha asti iti karanataha antavan dehaha. Antavan dehaha. Ayam dehaha antavan. This body has an end. Ime dehaha antavantaha. All these physical forms have an end. Why? That is the nature. Antavantaha ime dehaha. But who own this? But the indweller of this body. Who the indweller, we say? The reality, the sadvastu, the existence of this, every body, everything, the sadvastu, he says, shariri, dehi, the two words are there. Dehaha asya asti iti dehin shabdaha, dehi. Shariram asya asti iti sharirin, shariri means the indweller, the owner, the possessor of the body is shariri, dehi. Whereas dehaha, sharirani, the dehaha antavantaha, they have an end, they come to an end because they constantly they undergo changes. Ime dehaha antavantaha. What about the shariri? Sharirinaha. Kidrashaha shariri nityaha. Aprameyaha. Anashi. Shariri is anashi. Shariri is aprameyaha. Shariri is nityaha. Nityasyokta sharirinaha. Anashino prameyasya. So he says, this shariri, the dehi, the atma, the self, the sat of the universe, which is available for recognition as the pure chit, is the shariri, the dehi. That shariri, the dehi, is anashi. It is not subject to any destruction or change. Aprameyaha. Okay, it is not objectifiable, it is imperceptible, therefore it is immeasurable. Understand? Aprameyaha. It is not available for objectification. Aprameyaha. Pramana dwara matum na shakyate iti prameya. Aprameya. Pramana dwara, through a given means of knowledge, that which can be measured, known, understood is prameyam. You know, which is available for objectification is prameyam. When you say aprameyaha, because it is not available for objectification. Because sattvastu is not even an object. It is a subject. Understand? Therefore, you say aprameyaha, anashi, and also nityaha. Why nityaha? Eternal. He says, why, Shankara says, why do we use two words? Anashi means not subject to destruction. Nityaha means eternal. What is the difference? Why he says, this sadvastu is not subject to absolute destruction, not subject to even relative destruction. That is why he says, nityaha, eternal, everlasting, no beginning, no end. Okay, endless, beginningless, changeless, not subject to any change at all. But these deha, ime dehaha, we can say prameyam, dehaha prameyaha. Physical body is available for objectification. It's dehaha prameyaha. Shari dehi is aprameyaha, dehaha is prameyaha. Understand? Dehi is aprameyaha. But dehi is, sir, dehaha prameyaha. Dehi is anashi, dehaha is nashi. And dehi is nityaha, dehaha is anityaha. This is how satyam is, mithya is, sat is, asat is. Okay? Therefore, we get to see the following, the Bhashyam. Aprameyasya. So, aprameyasya, Shankara gives a meaning there, na prameyasya. Okay, what aprameyasya means? Na prameyasya. Na prameyasya, what is the meaning he gives? Pratyakshadi. Pramanaihi. Aparichedyasya. Ityartaha. So what does he say? He explains the word aprameyaha. He says, see, Atma, please listen, Atma, the Self, the Knower, Consciousness, the Pure Consciousness, the Sat, which is available for understanding as the Chit, which is the Shariri, okay, which is available as the Knower, Shariri, is what now? Aprameyaha. Aprameyasya is a positive form. Aprameyaha. I told you last class itself, but still I want to tell you again because you'll be coming across this word again and again. I need not talk anywhere. Let me tell you here itself. The aprameya is a potential passive participle. Okay? We say ma is the root. And mati is the verb. Mati means measures. And pra, with the pra prefix, pramati means measures accurately, correctly. Accurate measurement is what? Pramanam. Manam means measurement. Measuring, measuring, measurement. Pramanam, accurate measurement. And so we say means of knowledge also is indicated by the word pramanam. Mati, pramati, measures. Knows accurately, correctly knows. Pramati. And pramata is the knower. Pramanam is the means of knowledge. Prameyam is an object of knowledge. Meyam, so that which can be measured is meya. That which can be measured, known correctly is prameyam. That which can be measured correctly means that which can be objectified. So anything which is available for objectification, anything which can be known, perceived through any of the, so perceptible is prameya. Imperceptible is aprameya. Anything which can be perceived through any of the senses, no, is subject to time, subject to space, okay, spatial limitation, you know, subject to object limitation also. So anything which is subject to any of these limitations is said to be parichedya, parichinnaha, which is limited. Parichedya means limited. Which is limited by time, space and object is parichedya. Aparichedya means that which cannot be limited by time, space and object. Understand? Anything which is available for objectification, anything which can be objectified, anything which is perceptible, available, okay, for knowledge through any of the senses, is prameyam, and prameyam means what? Measurable, which can be known. It is subject to these three limitations. But Atma, the Self, the Sat of the universe, which is there as the Chit, is aparichedyaha. It is not subject to time, space and object limitations, and it is not, therefore it is not, it is immeasurable, it is not objectifiable, it is imperceptible. Understand? And because it is imperceptible, it is the cause, it is immeasurable, because it is not subject to any of these limitations, it pervades everything. It pervades everything. Therefore, that which pervades everything, the effect, how can it be affected by the effect which is pervaded by the very cause? It lends, the effect borrows its existence from the very cause. How can it cause any destruction to the cause? So aprameyasya, that's what he means. Aparichedyasya pratyakshani pramanaihi, that means it's not available for objectification through any of the means of knowledge. Not only perception, even inference, etc. See, it is proving now. See, this word aprameyaha, it establishes how the Sat of the universe, being the pure Chit, the Chit, the consciousness, is not available for objectification at all. It is imperceptible. Understand? It is a source of knowledge. That is what the word aprameya says. Nanu agamena atma parichidyate pratyakshadinacha purvam. Then we say, we can have the doubt here. Some of the questions can. Atma is also known. Because there is, we remain ignorant of Atma for some time. then we know, or we can say, okay, after listening to the Shastra and all that, we understand, we can say, we know the Atma now. The object Atma also is known. Can you say Atma is also object of knowledge? Atma is known not as an object of knowledge, but as the very subject of knowledge. Of course, Atma also becomes known. There is ignorance of Atma, and ignorance is dispelled. We do come to know of the Atma. Knowledge of the Atma takes place, definitely. Knowledge of the Atma takes place. And Atma being Chit is understood. The knowledge of the Atma being Chit is understood. And the Chit Atma is in the Satta of the universe also becomes understood. Knowledge does take place. That does not mean Atma is object of knowledge. The knowledge of the Atma takes place, but Atma is understood as the very subject of knowledge. Understand? Not an object of knowledge. Therefore, he says, why? He says, na Atmanaha Swataha Siddhatvat. Swataha Siddhatvam. Atma has Swataha Siddhatva. It's a beautiful explanation, tell you. Swatas Siddhaha. Say now. Swataha Siddhaha. Swatas Siddhaha. Swatasiddha means self-evident, okay, self-revealing and self-effulgent, self-existent. Swataha Siddhaha. It is self-revealing, self-evident, self-existent, self-effulgent, Atma. Atma, the self, the consciousness, the chit, the sat of the universe, has the status of being the self-existent and has status of being the self-revealing and self-evident. Because Atma is not totally unknown. We have to be very, very clear. You cannot say Atma is not known to me at all. If you say Atma is not known to me, it's like saying I don't know I am. We can't say that. Atma is known. Atma is totally unknown, but Atma is not totally known also. Neither totally unknown, nor is it totally unknown. That is where the problem. If it's totally known, there's no problem. Then there's no problem at all. If it's totally unknown also, there's no problem. No way. Then the desire to know also will not be there. Atma, if it is totally unknown, there will not be any problem at all. You will remain steeped in ignorance. Total ignorance is bliss. And if we know, if you have total knowledge of what the Atma is, then also you are free. There is no problem. Okay, when it is partially known, partially unknown. Known, also unknown. Only then the problem is. But so, Atma is not available for objectification. Okay? Because Atma is not totally an unknown thing also. Swataha Siddhatvat. It's already there. All of us, how? It is available how? As what? As I am. The knowledge I am. We don't need anything else to know whether I am there or not. For me to know whether I am here or not, I don't depend upon any other light, any other means of knowledge to know whether I am or not. Without being dependent on any other means of knowledge, I know I am. Swataha Siddhatvat. Siddhehi Atmani Pramatari Pramitsoho Pramana Anveshana Bhavati. See, the knowledge that I am must be already there. Understand? In fact, the chit alone is available, you know, in fact as what? The self available as what? Knowledge that I am, must be there. Now only then, it's a pramata. Only when there is I am there, pramata. And pramata who? The pramitsa. Pramitsa means the desire to know is possible. Then pramitsoho, for the one who is desirous of knowing, pramana anveshana. Now he can search for the pramana, means of knowledge. One must be desirous of knowing in order to search for the means of knowledge. Pramana anveshana. Anveshana means searching. Pramana anveshana, the search for the means of knowledge itself is possible only if there is a desire for knowing. And the desire for knowing is possible only if there is a pramata, the knower already. The knower, understand, who is there? Is it clear? Pramata is already there, that is why pramitsa is possible. Pramitsa means pramatum iccha pramitsa. The desire to know is possible. And only the pramitsa is there, the one who is desirous of knowing, pramitsuhu, pramana anveshana bhavati. The pramitsuhu, for the one who is desirous of knowing, can search for the means of knowledge. Understand? So you can't say Atma is also an object. Atma is also an unknown object. Atma is not totally unknown. The chit is not totally unknown. See, the chit is known. I am is known, but what I am is not known. Understand? That is not known. Nahi. Purvam ittham aham iti atmanam apramaya paschate prameya parichedaya pravartate. See, without the, suppose the knowledge, if the knowledge that I am, if it is not there, okay, then even the knowledge cannot take place. The knowledge that I am is not there, and who, where is the pramata? And who is the one who can use the pramanam? Or how can there be prameyam? The prameyam, the object of knowledge, is not possible. Objectification is not possible. Okay? And pramanam cannot be used if the pramata is not there. So pramata is already there. Understand? Pramata is not totally unknown. That is why it's not totally unknown. These things just tell you the knowledge that I am is already there. That is why even the desire to know is also possible. And even to find what is the means of knowledge also is possible. Nahi atmanama kasyachite aprasiddha bhavati. For none does it become unknown. Nobody can say atma is totally unknown. Atmanama kasyachite aprasiddha na bhavati. Atma is not totally unknown. Atma is known. Atma is neither totally known, nor is it totally unknown. It is known as I am, but it is not known as what I am. Okay? Pradha bhavati. Therefore, what we say, that is why already this Atma being available as the knower, pramata, partially known, even then it is clear, it is not available for objectification. Just to say why Ashariri is not the Prameyaha, Shariri is Aprameyaha, that one explanation is going on like this. Okay, then Suppose this partial knowledge, the knowledge that I am, the prasiddha atma, listen carefully, the prasiddha atma, the self-evident, self-revealing, okay, even though it is that partially unknown also, atma, how does it become completely known? How does it become totally known? Then what is the pramanam here? This is where he says, Shastram is the ultimate, no, final means of knowledge to know what I am. To know I am, I don't need any other means of knowledge. To know what the self is, I don't need any other means of knowledge. I don't need light, I don't need any other pramanam. I know I am. But to know what I am, Shastram is antyam pramanam. Shastram is the means of knowledge. So he says, Atadharma Adhyaropana Matra Nivartakatvena Pramanyam Atmanaha Pratipadyate Natu Agyata Artha Gyapakatvena. So, he says, suppose we can say, oh, I am using the Shastram as pramana, means of knowledge, to know what the Atma is, to know the self, what the self is, to know what the, how the Sati is available as the chit, for the chit, to know that, I am using pramanam. What is the pramanam? Shastram. That means, then, can I say that Atma is available, Atma is also prameyam? Anything which is known through a given pramanam becomes what? Prameyam. Then can I say then, but Shariri is aprameyaha, you say? How is it possible? Shariri is aprameyaha, but still I am using the Shastra pramanam not to know I am. Okay, already there is knowledge, you know. What does the Shastra pramanam do? The question comes. What does the Shastra Pramanam do? If you know already you are. It, Shastra Pramanam tells you only what you are not. Shastra Pramanam does not say. Shastra Pramanam, we don't need Shastra Pramanam. Listen carefully. To know you are. Shastra also comes and tells you you are. Shastra only comes and tells you what you are not first. Thereby, it helps you arrive at what you are. Okay? What does it do? Atadharma adhyaropana nivartakatvena. Atadharma means, okay? Tadharma means what? Attributes of the Atma. Atadharma means attributes of the Anatma. Okay, when the attributes of the Anatma are, you know, superimposed, adhyaropana means superimposition. See, Shastra Pramanam, Shastram helps you remove the the attributes of the Anatma superimposed upon the Atma. Shastram only helps you to eliminate the attributes superimposed upon the self. Attributes of what? Attributes of Anatma. Atadharma adhyaropana. Atadharma means the attributes of the Anatma or adhyaropana, superimposed upon the Atma. And this pramanam nivartayati. So the Shastra pramanam helps you remove, eliminate the attributes of the Anatma superimposed upon the Atma by revealing what the Atma, by saying what the Atma is not, okay? Thereby it helps you understand what Atma is. Is it clear? It is very, very well said here. Only that much alone the Shastram does not teach. does not reveal the Atma, like how the I keep eyes open, then I see the light. Okay, it's not like that. Shastram does not, Shastra Pramanyam. No, Shastram, Shastram is a Pramanam, is a means of knowledge. As a means of knowledge, what does the Shastram do? Does Shastram reveal the Atma directly to you? No, as an object? As an object? No. Shastram does not reveal the Atma as an object of knowledge. Because Atma is not totally unknown. Please understand. Shastra Pramanam, Shastram, the means of knowledge, does not reveal the Atma which is totally unknown to you. Because Atma is not all totally unknown to you. Atma is already partially known to you. How does the Shastram serve as means of knowledge? It only eliminates. It has the status of being the eliminator of the attributes of the Anatma superimposed upon the Atma. It only eliminates the... Just it eliminates. By saying what? By saying what the Atma is not. Thereby, it also reveals what the Atma is. Just because Shastram is used as a Pramanam, then I can say, Atma is also Prameyam. No. Understand? Is it clear? It's a very beautiful thing. Very, very interesting argument is presented here. Atad dharma. See, Shastram tu. Antyam Pramanam. Shastram is the final, the means of knowledge of the self. Then how does there's a means of knowledge of the self means the Sat being the Chit is understood with the help of the Pramanam, the Shastra Pramanam. No? What does it do? Atad dharma adhyaropana nivartakena nivartakatvena pramanyam. Okay? It only eliminates the attributes of the Anatma being. Okay, the superimposed attributes of the Anatma upon the Atma, it eliminates. Natu Ajnata Artha Jnapakatvena. But the Shastram does not reveal the self totally unknown to you. Understand? Don't think I don't know the self at all completely, and Shastram reveals the self to me. No, Shastram when I say Vedanta Shastram. Vedanta Shastram. Vedanta Shastram when I say Upanishads. Is it okay? You get this. Tathacha Shrutihi. And he also quotes an Upanishad words from the Shankaracharya always to make his argument, more emphatic, he always quotes from one Upanishad. Shrutihi means Veda. Here Upanishad, another Upanishad says, Yat Sakshat Aparokshat Brahma Ya Atma Sarvantaraha Iti. Okay. What does he say? So the Sat, I had been the Sat again, okay? The Sat, which is the Chit, okay? And which is the Atma, which is revealed by the Shastram, which is not Prameyaha, which is Aprameya, even though it is, we have the Praman, we use the Pramanam called the Shastram, still Atma, Shariri is not the Prameyaha, it is Aprameyaha, okay? It is not an object of knowledge, it is the very subject. And Atma does not reveal the self totally unknown to you. The self is not totally unknown to you at all. Self is already known to you as I am. Okay? It only reveals what you are. What you know you are, but you don't know what you are. And what to know, to make you understand what you are. To make your knowledge of you are. the knowledge that you are, to make it complete, it reveals to who you are, what you are. To reveal what you are, what does it do? It eliminates. It eliminates all the wrong attributes of the anatma superimposed upon the atma. That way it says what atma is not, that by saying what atma is not, it reveals what the atma is, what you are. This is how the shastram also serves as means of knowledge. Understand? Neti neti vachanehi, remember that. By negating what the atma is not, it reveals what the atma is. So it does not really directly reveal like any other means of knowledge. Well, because atma swataha siddhatva, because already self-revealing, self-evident. And he says, the Shruti says, the beautiful verse there, sakshat, aparokshat, brahma, ya atma, sarvantaraha. See, sarvantaraha atma, sarvasya antaraha, sarvantaraha atma, the innermost self. When you say innermost, means not the innermost, inside, outside, it's not the inside or outside. When you say innermost self, means the self of everything, sarvantaraha atma, which is Brahman, okay, which is Brahma, the limitless reality, is what that he says here, sakshat aparokshat. Sakshat, directly it is known. How directly it is? Not through senses. Aparokshat, as an immediate self. If I say, I see you directly, means I don't see you through somebody else. Not, okay? Then we say aparoksha jnanam, paroksha jnanam, pratyaksha jnanam. Listen carefully. Pratyaksha jnanam, when I say, it is direct knowledge. Suppose I see, okay, the color of the dress is blue. My pratyaksha jnanam. I see myself, I use my eyes. I have direct knowledge of the color of the dress. That is blue. Who tells me, who gives me the knowledge? I see myself. Directly I see. It is pratyaksha jnanam. I don't see the dress directly myself. Suppose he tells me, somebody else tells me what the color of the dress she is wearing is blue. That is, okay, paroksha jnanam. Indirect knowledge. Pratyaksha jnanam, direct perception. Okay, paroksha jnanam, indirect knowledge. Through another means. Then, it's neither pratyaksham nor paroksham, it is aparoksham. Why aparoksham? If I say atma is available for pratyaksha jnanam, then I am wrong. No way. Atma is not an object of knowledge. Therefore, it is not available for pratyaksha jnanam. Direct knowledge. Understand? Why it is not an object of knowledge? Atma definitely is not available for aparoksha jnanam also. Somebody else has seen Atma and comes and tells me how Atma looks. It's not Disneyland or something else for somebody else to come and tell me, describe how. Suppose if Alan G comes and tells me how some areas in Spain looks. I can have pratyek apana paroksha jnanam. But not the Atma. But Atma, sakshat aparokshat. Aparoksha. Neither pratyaksha nor paroksha, neither indirect nor direct. Then what is it? Immediate. When you say immediate, means the knowledge that I am. Is it knowledge that I am? Is it direct knowledge or indirect knowledge? Immediate knowledge. Immediate. Isn't it? Understand? So self is immediate. Immediate means total distancelessness. Immediacy implies total distancelessness. Complete distancelessness. Is it clear? Immediate. Immediate. That is why Sakshat Aparokshat Atma, I the Self am the pure consciousness. I know I am. Now I know I, what is that I? Because I is the knower. I as the knower, everything has been negated as an object of knowledge. Till what? The knowledge that I am also is negated as an object of knowledge. Understand? And what else is there? If the knowledge that I am also is negated as an object of knowledge, because the knowledge that I am is not there in deep sleep state, it's there only in waking state. When I analyze my deep sleep state, nothing is there. I understand, even the knowledge that I am is an object of knowledge. What is there is pure consciousness, pure awareness. Pure awareness. Therefore, the pure awareness is what? Who is the one who knows the knowledge that I am being not there? Not knowing, not an action, just consciousness is there. Therefore, the knower is consciousness. Okay? Therefore, it is pratyaksha jnanam. Tell me, the knower being pure consciousness, now is known. How is it known? Is it pratyaksha jnanam? Is available for sense perception? No. Is available for, is it pratyaksha jnanam or paroksha jnanam? No, neither pratyaksham nor paroksham. It is aparoksham. So the pure consciousness is available for recognition as the immediate self. Understand? Sakshat, aparokshat, atma, brahma. Sarvantaraha, and that consciousness is the innermost self of all the beings. Is it clear? And that consciousness is the chit, and the chit is the sat of the universe. In Anantam also, that consciousness pervades the whole cosmos, everything, the entire manifestation. And that is indestructible. May you know that to be indestructible. May you know that consciousness to be aprameha, imperceptible, indestructible, and also eternal. Is it clear? If I simply say this word, Swamiji doesn't like this. What is eternal, imperceptible? You are simply saying, no, I already explained now, I can just say that. It literally giving the meaning to me. Swamiji never recommends. If I say simply eternal, eternal is an English word, nityaha is Sanskrit word. What difference does it make? How eternal it is? How it is changeless? What can bring about any change on the part of consciousness? What else is there other than consciousness to bring about any change on the part of consciousness? Understand? This all people think of doing some special contemplation, sitting. When I make you see this, let us think. Therefore, he is going to say next. Is it clear? Yate sakshat. See, it's directly available for recognition as an immediate self is this Atma, which is Brahman, which is the self. Okay. Yasmat evam nityaha. Yasmat, therefore, due to that reason, he says, evam, this manner, in this manner, nityaha, Atma is what now? The consciousness, the sat, which is the chit, the sat of the universe, okay, sat of the universe, the existence of the universe, cosmos, being the pure chit, which is available for recognition as the knower, as the self, as the Atma, which is Brahman, is in fact nityaha. Nityaha. Nityaha means what? Avikriyaha. Avikriyaha. Vikriyaha means change, modification. Okay, avikriyaha, unmodifiable, not with any modifications or change, changeless, eternal Atma, avikriyascha Atma, tasmat, Therefore, what you should do, Arjuna, now? Yudhyasva. Yuddhate. Uparamam. Makarshihi. Don't run away from doing your duty. Therefore, may you do. So, here, Krishna is not interested in making Arjuna do his duty also. He only says, Shankaracharya explains here next. Nahi atra yuddha kartavyata vidhiyate yuddhe pravruttaha evahi asau shokamoha pratibaddha tushnim aste ataha tasya kartavya pratibandhapanayana matram kartavya pratibandha apanayana matram bhagavata kriyate tasmat yudhyasva iti anuvada matram na vidhihi. See, a beautiful thing is said here. Listen carefully. Okay, now you understood. Sat is chit and chit is already known, available for understanding as the self. It is not totally unknown, it is already partially known, and then even it is not prameyaha, it is aprameyaha, even though it is known through the pramanam of shastram. What pramanam, shastra pramanam does, it does not reveal something which is totally unknown to you. Shastram does not reveal the self which is totally unknown to you. It only reveals the self which is already partially known. What partially not known, incorrectly known, is correctly shown, revealed. Okay? That's what he explained. Then, therefore, Atma is Nityaha Avikriyaha. Therefore, may you go and do your duty. When he says that, we may think, that means Krishna is emphasizing, Arjuna, that he should do his duty. In fact, what he says, Arjuna is already he was involved in doing his duty. But there was an obstacle, impediment, pratibandha. What Arjuna was not... Okay, Arjuna was going to do his duty. What is that which stopped him from doing his duty? Please be very clear. So Krishna doesn't emphasize that he should do his duty. What is emphasized here is not the duty, but what is that which stopped him from doing his duty? It is shokaha. Please listen. It is shokaha which... really made him lethargic, made him stop him from doing his duty. Why? What is it which caused the shoka? Mohaha. Mohaha, the delusion, the lack of discriminative understanding of what is real and what is not real, resulted in shokaha. Shoka, the grief. It was the grief which stopped him from doing his duty. If it was not grief, it was not grieving, he wouldn't have really stopped doing his duty. One will do effortlessly, comfortably, enthusiastically what one has to do if one is not subject to grief. The grief is caused by, delusion.
In this case, attachment for his near and dear ones.
No, that's the, we put it short, actually. Grief is due to the mohaha, delusion. Shoka is because of moha. Therefore, what does he say? What is mohaha? Mohaha is the delusion. What is delusion? The lack of discriminative understanding is mohaha. Discriminative understanding of what? What is real? What is not real? Is what is delusion, in fact. Why he was deluded? What is the reason? What is it which caused the delusion? It is ignorance. the ignorance of what is real resulted in delusion, mistaking what is not real for the real. So the error in his perception, and that erroneous perception of mistaking the not real for real, is because of the delusion. He did not have the discriminative understanding of what is real and what is not real. And that delusion resulted in what? Grief, shokaha. And the shokaha prevented him from being dutiful. So Krishna is not interested in making Arjuna fight now. Yudhyasva means, now you know what is real, there is no more delusion for you. You know what is real, what is not real. You know what can be changed, what cannot be changed. Now once you know this, you can just effortlessly, comfortably, you can go and do your duty. Tasmad Yudhyasva. So Shankara, in his Bhasha, very beautifully, he emphasizes, he says here, Nahi atra yuddha kartavyata vidhiyate. Yuddha kartavyata is not emphasized here. Doing Arjuna's duty is not emphasized here. Yuddhe pravruttaha eva asau. Already he is really involved in his. He went to that battlefield to fight. He was already involved, but something now stopped him. What is that? So he says, Shokamoha pratibaddha, shokena mohena cha shokamohabhyam pratibaddha. He was stopped. What is that which really caused impediment there? Pratibaddha. What which stopped him? Is shoka and moha. Shoka moha pratibaddha. He was stopped. He was prevented. No? He obstructed by the shoka and moha. Therefore tushnim aste. Therefore that's why he was keeping quiet. He was not ready to do anything. Ataha, therefore, tasya kartavya pratibandha apanayana matram. He only removed just for the sake of eliminating that which obstructed, which stopped him from doing his duty. Krishna's interest is only in removing that which really stopped him from doing his duty. Kartavya, he says, kartavya pratibandha apanayanam. Apanayanam is removed. Apanayana matram. Krishna was interested only in removing that, which caused the obstruction, which stopped him from doing his duty. What is it which stopped him from doing his duty? His grief, shokaha. Shoka and moha, delusion. Because of what? The ignorance. So now he removed his ignorance, thereby he removed his shoka, moha, thereby he removed his shoka, now he can do his duty. That's the meaning. Kartavya pratibandha apanayana matram bhagavata kriyate. Bhagavan only eliminates that which stopped him from doing his duty. Bhagavan did not make him really do his duty. It's interesting, isn't it? You use a matram. Okay. Tasmat yudhyasva iti anuvada matram na vidhi. Don't think this yudhyasva may go and do your duty. Hey Arjuna, come on, go and fight now. When Krishna says that, it does not mean, this is not emphasizing that you should go and do your duty. What he says is, the emphasis is on, come on, what has stopped you from doing what you have to be doing? That has been removed. The shoka moha. Is Shokamohadi Samsara Karana Nivrutyartam Gita Shastram. He makes very, Shankara says very again, he says very clearly, what is this Bhagavad Gita Shastram for? Gita Shastram Kimartam. Gita Shastram, Bhagavad Gita is also Vedanta Shastra Vishayakam. Bhagavad Gita subject matter also is what? Upanishad Vishayam. Subject matter of the Upanishad is the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is a Moksha Shastram. The Gita Shastram, Kimartam, what is the study of the Gita for? Okay, Shoka Mohadi Samsara Karana Nivrityartam is only for the removal of the cause. Okay, removal of that which causes shoka and moha. What is which causes the shoka and moha? Ajnanam. Atma ajnanam results in moha, which results in shoka, which becomes a pratibandhanam for one's duty. Therefore, understand? Therefore, because all the confusions, all the turmoils, all that which slows down or makes us feel disinterested, what is to be done, to do the presence of mind, what is it which stops us? You know, really which clouds our mind, buddhi, and stops us is our moha, shokaha. Really speaking, it is the shokaha. In an unknown, it's always in disguise. Shoka is in disguise. We don't even know the shoka. And shoka is in disguise, and shoka, and the shoka is because of the moha. The moha is because of the ajnana, ignorance. Therefore, he says, na pravartakam. Bhagavad Gita, people say, oh, Gita is to make us all do your work. Of course, you have to do our work. It's going to tell us later on, third chapter. But ultimately, Bhagavad Gita is not interested in making people workaholics. Okay? Do that. You have to do what is to be done, but do it comfortably, do it effortlessly, do it enthusiastically, not with the, thing. So here, na pravartakam, it's not pravartakam. If it is not pravartakam, then what is it for? Nivrittakam, nivrityartham eva. Kasya nivrityartham? Mohasya shokasya nivrityartham. It's for the removal, for removing shoka and moha caused by ajnanam. Which is the shoka moha? Which causes the impediment in doing one's duties. This is very beautiful, isn't it? It's a wonderful place, this part of Bhashyam. Shoka mohadi samsara karana nivrityartham Gita Shastram na pravartakam. Pravartakam is what? In fact, it is provocative. Okay? It really doesn't provoke. Doesn't really makes one do things comfortably. Doesn't make one workaholic. That's what it's emphasized here. Iti Yetasya Arthasya Sakshibhute Rachau Aninaya Bhagavan. So he's going to the mantra, Upanishad mantra, he's going to say the aim of the Shastram is not to make one do things. Okay? The aim of the Shastram is to remove the ignorance which causes grief, delusion and grief, which really stops people from doing what they have to be doing. Okay? Then they'll be doing. That's what is there. And to say that, he's going to quote from the following verse. In fact, implies the Upanishadic meaning. Of course, he's going to say that. Yattu manyase युद्धे भीष्मादयः मया हन्यन्ते अहमेव तेषां हन्त इति एषा बुद्धिः मृषा एव. So he says, he also says, yat tu manyase, yat tu, if you think, okay, yudde bhishmadayaha maya hanyante, bhishma and except bhishma and other people, other great people who are in the battlefield, and they, you know, they're all maya hanyante, they're all killed by me, and aham tesham hanta, I am their destroyer, okay, I am the one who is going to slay them. I am their destroyer, and they'll all be destroyed by me, killed by me. If you think this thinking, this thought is wrong, Mrusha Eva. If you think you are the destroyer of Bhishma and others, they're going to be killed by you. If you think they'll be killed by you, and you are the destroyer, their destroyer, then this thinking of yours is wrong, Mrusha. This is thinking which stops him from doing what he has to be doing. Okay, the duty. So one can do one's duty if he is clear-headed. And the clearer one is, more perfectly, more efficiently, more contributively, more constructively one can do. Otherwise, either he will not do at all, and whatever he does also will be damaging and destructive. So what is it which is needed here? Pratibandha apanayana matram. Pratibandha apanayanam. What is it which causes the obstacle in doing one's duty? It is the grief. What is it which causes the grief? It is the delusion. What is it which causes the delusion? It is the ignorance. Then what is it which should be removed now? Ignorance. Gita Shastram is only for removing the ignorance which causes delusion, which results in grief, which becomes an obstacle, which really causes the obstacle in one doing one's duties. On implementing and executing one's duties. It's clear? And this thinking, he's thinking that all these people will be killed by me, and I'm going to kill all of them. This thought, if Arjuna had, he says, this thought is wrong, thinking is wrong. This very thinking is wrong. This thinking implies what? That's why he's grieving, he has sorrow. He's highly sorrowful. And it's because of delusion. He really does not know who will be, okay, what is being killed, what is killing. He does not know really. Who is the one who is killing, etc. So, he's going to see later on. It's not simply understanding consciousness alone. We will see that later on. We have to connect all. I have to tell you all this. Nasato onwards, I have to connect till here. Some of them tell you again. Not now.
So the implication is that if your ignorance is removed, then the natural behavior is dutiful behavior. Because that was one question I asked you in my. Because one could. There could be some confusion about what the duty is. I mean, just as you could say, well, ahimsa here, what am I doing? I'm harming all these people, my teaching, so this is my duty. So that was what Arjuna was raising before. The matter of duty needs to be able to discriminate what is the right. The right law in this particular situation.
Yeah, duty actually one's responsibilities. Well, one knows what one's responsibilities are. So one has to really do, you know, fulfill whatever one has responsible for. One has to do things. And then in doing, in fulfilling one's responsibilities, one has to involve, one has to involve oneself in actions. And there, whatever actions he chooses to do, he has to do the right things. In doing the duty also, suppose if I am a mother, I have taken care of my children, I do certain things. My responsibility, I have a responsibility of looking after. Then I look after, and for which looking after implies a lot of things. Give them food, shelter, give them education, a lot of, so many things. And for which, there, I have to act. And those actions, I may go against dharma, I can steal, rob, you know, kill, there again. So my duties, I have to be very clear about my responsibilities. My responsibilities will tell me what my duties are. And fulfilling, doing my duties, I have again had to choose to do actions. There again, I choose to do the right actions, avoid the wrong actions.
Can I add a point to that?
Yeah.
Arjuna was a kshatriya, and which means he's a warrior, so it means he has to fight for dharma. So fighting is his duty, right?
No, that is it. The context is fine. Now what I'm saying, in this context, generally this is one thing I want to say this. Because what is a duty? The question comes, what is my duty? Okay, the duty is your responsibility. You have your own responsibility. You respond, you know what your responsibilities are. Then you know then what is to be done. The role plays, again, different role plays tell you what your duties are. The role play, whatever roles you have to play, they tell you what your responsibilities are or what your duties are. And then you implement in doing there how you do. What you choose to do again is there, dharma. Other things are there. But anyway, whatever it is, here, see, whenever, whatever I have to do, if I'm not able to do what I need to do, what I have to do, that is because of, no, that's not good really. Then I go against the order. I cause more, disorderly, I disturb the order. If I don't do what is to be done, what I need to do, then definitely I'll end up doing what need not be done, what should not be done also. In a way, I'll be disturbing the order. That is why one has to be kept very busy.
Yeah, but you see, the ultimate goal is freedom from ignorance.
Yeah.
So that this is all totally clear and natural. But while one is clarifying the mind, there's a period of time where the clarity is not 100%. So there needs to be some vision as to, you know, the right action. Because sometimes there can be conflicts. I mean, you're saying if you take over a particular role, then that whatever the job now in that role, that's what you can do. But there are all kinds of situations where you're faced with some choices where you may need to, for example, need to harm somebody in order to fulfill another duty. So while one is not completely clear about the truth of the self, then there is this time where there are these potential difficulties about
yeah, point. See, that is why we say, that is why there is something called, there is a prayer until, you know, total clarity takes place. There is something called prayer, there is worship, satsang, like how to keep yourself in track. Now, all these things are, that's why all these things go together, go hand in hand. It's not immediate. Okay? But even, see, assimilated vision is there or not, even the understanding itself, the mere understanding of the subject matter of the Shastram itself will bless you with adequate clarity to do your things comfortably, effortlessly. See, ascertained vision of the subject matter of the Shastram will free you completely, where even you will be free from the desire to do.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you understand that it's a different thing. And even then, without the doership and enjoyership, still you can do good things for the Loka Sangrahartham, like Janaka Deha, like how Janaka and others were doing. Even like many jnanis, they don't need to do anything because they're not dependent on the results of actions for their happiness. They're people of accomplishments. Still they'll be doing something or the other because for the well-being of society, because to be in tune with the order of Bhagavan. But what happens when you want to do, suppose, before that, but even this understanding of the subject matter as such, see, when you learn some, this even the few verses we've been discussing for the past few classes, a lot of things are becoming clearer, definitely. Definitely clarity must have enhanced. You can't say you haven't understood at all. You have been understanding. You had some clarity. You had the clarity is really enhanced. No, we see the clarity getting enhanced. And then as you see, the understanding of the subject matter as it is itself really keeps you, light. Definitely. It helps you to do what is to be done. To do your things. You're able to decide. Definitely it should be doing. And apart from that, we also have prayer, we worship. That is why prayerfulness is very, very important throughout. For a sadhaka, as a sadhaka, should be prayerful also. You can't say, without being prayerful and worshipful, I'm a seeker of the truth, means, and then there's some sort of, again, we have to tackle our ahankara. There again, I'm the seeker of the truth itself becomes some sort of thing. That is why prayerful is, because once you pray and worship means you are humble. I tell you, prayer is one of the ways of managing our ahankara. We can't undo ahankara. Because ahankara, it has to go by itself. Understand? And nothing wrong also. Ahankara is nothing wrong. Ahankara is something beautiful. Let it be there. Because of the ahankara only you are able to, the very pursuit is possible. But it becomes neutralized as a result of managed and then really, the humility is possible, no? Some degree of humility also is expressed, no? When you really pray and worship. It should go simultaneously. And in understanding this, you also understand Ishvara as an order, you understand Ishvara as a law of karma, once you understand the law of karma, you understand how prayer as an action is effective. Once you know the efficacy of prayer, and then you don't mind praying. You want to pray. We should be 100%, I'm sure that I'm going to gain result out of doing this. One day we'll do it. We do it.
So along the lines of what Richard was, I think, asking, if you remove the obstacle by means of the Shastra, which teaches you, which reveals to you who and what you are, then you automatically, it's natural that your duty is clear anyway, right? It's inherent in who you are. So you don't have to then make any real choice about your duty, or the role. It's just implied, because that's the question. Am I making any sense?
You make sense.
In other words, you don't then need to struggle with what your role is, or there is no confusion after you know who and what you are.
No, you will be able to think correctly. So your thinking will be, I don't say you will totally think, you'll be able to think correctly, okay. Able to do things correctly.
Okay.
Okay, you won't have wrong thinking. Suppose here, if you think, I'm going to kill all these people. Like, sometimes our thinking, which really backs our actions, becomes wrong. Mm-hmm. Thinking becomes wrong. Mm-hmm. Then the thinking is very clear, the thinking is right. Mm-hmm. Then the actions which follow your thinking, then will be clearly executed. That's what he said.
So in other words, I still have a choice, for example, once all this is revealed to me, the ignorance is removed, I still have a choice to say if I want to be a songwriter or if I want to go and be a warrior, but whatever I choose, I will do, the action will be with right thinking. Or is my choice going to be obvious?
Then suppose the question still will not be there. These sort of questions will not be there. We just that we clarity to be doing whatever you have
whatever
to be doing.
Is.
Yeah. This question, then after the clarity, what will I be doing, that will not be there.
Yeah.
That will be taken care of.
Okay.
So you just take care of the ignorance. Okay, study Shastram, understand the subject matter of the Shastram, you see the ignorance will be taken care of, then everything will be taken care of, then you will know what to do, how to do. Even before that, even the question will not arise.
Right, you'll just be part of the next right action.
Yes.
You just said that ahankara cannot be changed.
Yeah, ahankara cannot be destroyed, ahankara cannot be given up.
No, I understand that, but my point is, if you cannot change anything in your ahankara, that means that any bad habit cannot be changed. You can't do anything about your bad habits.
No, bad habit is not ahankara, actually.
No? It's not attached to ahankara?
It's just a habit. Once you should be conscious of the habit being bad, then you change it. You see the consequences of a habit. What is a habit?
I have that question of whether it's a bad habit or not, because it won't be a bad habit because you will be doing your right action. Right?
So okay, we will continue with these things with next class.